North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com.
And good morning. Welcome to KRFY's News of the Week for August 15th, 2025. I'm today's guy on the microphone one, Chris Bessler. Our usual microphone one guy, Jack Peterson, is off on vacation this week. But fortunately, I'm joined with a couple old hands here. Will Love, my co-host. Will, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me back after last week. I guess I did well enough to elicit the comeback.
So. Yeah, you were the guy. Were you on microphone one last
week? I was, yeah.
You were running the soundboard.
Yeah. But of course, our other guest is somebody that could do it on his own. So, yeah.
and he
helped out last week.
And that is Zach Hagedorn from the Sandpoint Reader. Zach, thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. Good morning. And Will, you did great last week.
Well, thank you.
It was fantastic. Just the two of us in here, I think we handled it pretty well.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, great. So, kind of fun pushing all the buttons.
Actually, we had an engineer last week.
So, that makes it a little easier. Actually, I have to try to do both. And if I have a failure today, folks, be gentle with me. So let's get into the news. And of course, I'd say the top of the news is breaking and happening right now. We've got two major fires that are flanking Sandpoint. The Sunset Fire, which started on Wednesday, it's a few miles north of Bayview. It more than doubled yesterday. As of 7:40 last night, it was reported at 1,600 acres. Residents of a number of neighborhoods there are under go status order to evacuate, and others are at ready and set levels. That means be ready to get out if the fire ramps up. And last night, the Bonner County Sheriff's Office sent out a notice that there's an evacuation site that's been set up at Kokalala Bible Camp at 209 Kokalala Loop for those residents that need that. Cows and horses may be brought to the Bonner County Fairgrounds, and also the Better Together Animal Shelter has been offering support for those with pet cats and dogs. And that, of course, is the big fire that we actually can see here from here in Sandpoint. You can see the smoke plume. I don't know if you guys saw that yesterday.
Yeah, driving in from north of town. Yeah, it was pretty prominent.
Yeah.
Well, I've been getting tons of photos from readers and you know, family members who live in Sagal, and it looks apocalyptic.
Yeah.
But we just actually, breaking news, just got an alert from the Bonner County Sheriff's Office at 7:58 this morning that the fire is actually at 1,800 acres now.
It's gone, gained a couple hundred
acres overnight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And we'll check that for alert again here before we sign off today to see if we have anything else from the Sheriff's Office on that one. Meanwhile, the Lightning Creek fire has been burning since it started on July 30th. But it's been holding kind of steady at a little over 2,400 acres. It's only 10% contained at this point. So hopefully that one is kind of burning in on itself and not spreading more. There, I don't know if any structures. I know some structures have been lost in the Sunset Fire. I don't know if any have been lost in the Lightning Creek Fire?
The Lightning Creek Fire is burning in some pretty, like, rough country. There's not a lot of human habitation up there. The Sunset Fire is a lot different because it sort of started kind of in southern Bonner County and has spread along the shoreline from sort of Evans Landing area, and it's moving north along the shore.
Yeah.
Which I know from, you guys probably remember the big Bayview fire.
Sure.
It's a lot.
5 or 6 years ago, yeah.
It's really hard to fight a fire on a shoreline. I mean, you think it'd be easier because it's next to water, but.
Yeah, when it's a steep shoreline.
Yeah. So that one's a lot different, and there's a lot of people who live along the shore.
Yeah.
So I think there have been some structures either threatened or damaged in that Sunset Fire so far.
Yeah.
But if it goes over Blacktail Mountain, which is sort of heading that way, that's going to get into a lot more dense sort of population area in that Sagal Peninsula sort of region, which, of course, is where I grew up.
Yeah.
I know that area very well. And, you know, my own family members are sort of on not the go status, but they're definitely sort of under an evacuation advisory at the moment, and they're kind of freaked out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I have a couple of friends that live in the Sigel area that are under, you know, I think they're in the ready
alert. Ready, yeah.
Which means to get ready to get out of there if you need to.
They were putting stuff in their truck last night.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Just
yeah,
to make sure.
It should be very careful with that. I'm going to give a little roundup of some city news. We're going to circle back with Zach, who will have a lot more details on these. The Sandpoint City Council voted unanimously. This is last Wednesday to eliminate the city's area of impact. That was at the recommendation of the city's Planning and Zoning Committee. And that action is going to be forwarded now to the Bonner County Commissioners for final approval. City Council also approved a preliminary budget of $49.9 million for fiscal 2026, with a few changes to the earlier proposed budget. One was a 4-2 vote to shift an additional $40,000 to the spot bus in order to reach the city's full share of $145,000 in funding for the bus, which also has contributions from the cities of Ponderay, Kootenay, Dover, and I think Schweitzer, that's correct. I think Schweitzer kicks in.
I would not be an authority on that one. Okay. I don't know.
The spot runs buses up to Schweitzer in the winter and to Schweitzer. Yeah, it's actually a great way to get there, especially for young people. Another fiscal decision last week was a vote by the council to accept a $950,000 grant from the Idaho Department of Parks and Recreation to reconstruct the RV park at City Beach. That money will be matched with $50,000 in local funding. A major point of destruction was preparation, discussion. I don't know what
that I'm going to write that one down. That's a good one.
A major point of discussion was preparation by the city to seek approval by city voters of a bond measure to raise as much as $130 million for a major reconstruction of the city's wastewater plant. Next Wednesday, August 20th, will be a final workshop and public hearing for the fiscal 2026 budget, and also consideration of the ballot language for that bond measure. That's going to be a big question for voters to decide. And as mentioned, we'll come back on all these stories with Zach. Over at the Lake Ponderay School District, the school trustees at their meeting Tuesday heard an update on facility upgrades from Facilities Director Matt Deal, including a progress report on the Career Technical Education Center that's under construction, and the upcoming remodel after that of the Sandpoint Middle School. I don't know, Will, if you got any more insights on those.
Well, things. If you head over south of the high school, south end of the high school, you're going to see a lot of dirt being moved right now, and it sounds like they're going to start pouring some concrete there, and it'll be a welcome addition to the campus there. And you know, things are already tight in that area, but it will accommodate some pretty cool programs space.
Yeah. Career technical education covers everything from, I think, even nursing to mechanics to a whole bunch of stuff.
To actually journalism.
Oh, journalism.
Right? Yeah. I'm actually a CTE teacher.
So, okay.
Yeah.
Will you be in that facility?
I will not. Okay. I will not. The original intent was to get a bigger chunk of money from the state for this, but we were awarded a certain amount, and so that obviously dictates the size of the building, and I'm in an area where I've got a lot of space and stuff like that, versus, you know, this is going to open up bays for potentially an automotive program, and then
things
also
like welding and yeah.
So there's going to be a little bit of shuffling around in the school, which there's going to be some programs that are going to receive some more space, and then you know my hope is that actually it means I'll receive some more space within the building and stuff. But and then also and that is the if you were talking about the arts.
I didn't mention it yet, but I was
okay. Go ahead, and then
this is. Something that was discussed at the Tuesday trustee meeting. There's another addition coming to the grounds of Sandpoint High, and that's the Romy and Steven Visual Arts Studio. That's a $95,000 upgrade. It's fully funded by a $100,000 donation. And Superintendent Dr. Becky Meyer talked about that. She said it was the fruits of a discussion with a donor for about 2 years. And Tell us more about
that. Yeah, again, another significant addition to the high school. If you don't know Ezra Stafford, he's one of the art teachers at Sandpoint High School, and he's been kind of moved around into these different rooms at the high school, and essentially the space that he's been provided is not adequate, and so a huge donation for a program that's incredibly popular at the high school, and so the old I'll call it home ec room is being is almost completed and is going to be quite the art studio. So I'm excited either today or next week. I'm going to make my way down there and check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, school is coming up. Teachers are reporting for duty next week, I guess. Well,
the following week. Okay. So yeah. So,
and then the first day of school is September 2nd,
I believe. Yeah. The earliest that we can start, I think.
Right.
Labor Day falls.
Day after Labor Day, yeah.
My wife is also a teacher at the middle school, so she's definitely gearing up and already worrying this week. So she'll be worrying for like a week probably at least.
Yeah.
And then she'll go back to work.
Yeah, as I was telling Chris, like, yeah, my time in Sandpoint High School has grown quite a bit. And so I was there this week, next week, and then the following week I'll be contractually obligated to be there. So
This is the official thing. And I want to mention that Dr. Becky Meyer, the superintendent, was a guest on the Wednesday KRFY morning show. And gave us a great report on a number of the academic gains in the school district over the last year and a whole bunch of other stuff. You can hear the recorded podcast on that on our website. Go to our website, KRFY.org. You see on the homepage a link to hear what she had to say about the schools. It was a good talk with her, actually. And I'll mention just a couple of statewide stories. There is a ballot initiative that's proposed, which would eliminate Idaho's 6% sales tax on food. This being proposed by the chairman of the Payette County Republican Party. And he's trying to get steam going for a repeal Idaho's grocery tax initiative that would be on the November 2026 general ballot. He's leading that campaign. They got to raise a ton of signatures around the state to get that measure on the ballot. So that's a perennial discussion about the sales tax on food in this state. We do get a tax credit that's given back to you. So there's some pro and con there, but it'll be a lusty discussion, I'm sure. And then for state news closer to home, the Idaho Legislature's Affordable Housing Committee met right here in Sandpoint yesterday to hear about both local impacts and solutions that are being sought for affordable workforce housing in the state. One prime example of something that's actually getting done, there's an awful lot of talk about that, but here we have a kind of a model. It's a workforce housing project by the Kinnickso Land Trust, the Bonner Community Housing Agency, and the LEAP Housing Organization that has built and is selling 6 new homes in Priest River. And this is what's surprising in this day of inflated prices is that those homes are priced at $270,000 through this program, which is bearing the cost of the land, basically. And there are some real restrictions on it. It's for residents who work in Bonner County. And Katie Cox of the KLT, she spoke before the committee, and that was just yesterday. And, well, you mentioned a statewide story.
Yeah, I thought that this was kind of interesting. Kind of relates back to, what do they call it, the big beautiful bill.
Big beautiful bill. Beautiful bill.
And proposal that was part of it, but then quickly taken away when feedback came back. But Idaho legislator Senator Ben Adams, a Republican from Nampa, plans to introduce a constitutional amendment to the 2026 legislative session that would prohibit the sale of any future public lands that the state acquires from the federal government. The proposal apparently would create a new trust for such lands, ensuring that they remain public. But existing state endowment lands, which can be sold, that would remain something that the state could do. If approved, the amendment would go before voters in November 2026. So that might be a pretty, well, we already know that's going to be a very important election.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Right. 2026, that's nationally and statewide, of course. Okay, well, with that, let's circle back on some of this city news. Zach, you are the guy that wrote most of the Sandpoint Reader this week, it seems.
Well, I had kind of a backlog on City Hall news because the meetings have been lasting, you know, hours and hours, and we have a certain press time we have to meet. So I've been kind of holding on to a couple of these stories for a while.
Well,
so
what might be that area of impact story?
So yeah, the area of impact thing we've been reporting on for most of this year in little dribs and drabs. And they finally, the city council on August 6th, made the vote to say, okay, we're just going to get rid of this entirely. And not to belabor sort of the context, this goes back at least to 2019 when they were working on the comprehensive plan before COVID. And the push back then was to shrink it just for management purposes, I suppose. And then COVID happened and the comp plan got delayed and they finally finished it last year in July. And at that time, they shrank it from the 12.4 square miles that we used to have, which was this giant swath of land that goes all the way up, like halfway up Baldy and, you know, north pretty far up, like past Bronx Road and all this kind of stuff. And they said, well, we're going to shrink that entirely from 12.4 square miles to like, was it 3.4? And that was the proposal that sort of came out of that. And then in March of this year, planning and zoning looked at it and they said, well, yeah, let's do that. Let's shrink it. They sent it to the county. The county assessed it because Idaho state law is such that cities actually have no jurisdiction in their area of impact. So it's really the county that makes all these decisions, but the city is sort of like putting a sort of dotted line around, like, this is where we think we might grow someday. So if you're going to do something in this area, don't mess it up for us in the future.
Right.
That's the purpose of an area of impact. There's really no teeth in it. And in fact, Jeremy Grimm, the mayor of Sandpoint, referred to this as toothless in that meeting because there was nothing the city could do anyway. So anyway, they shrink it down to 3.4. The county says, no, we don't like your map. Go back and look at it again. Figure out exactly where you think you're going to grow and how, and then bring us a more accurate sort of assessment. In the interim, between that July 2024 comp plan completion and that meeting in sort of March, the Idaho State Legislature changed the state statute where they said cities can no longer have area of impact. Well, first of all, they changed the name. It's not even a city area of impact or area of city impact. They took the city word out of it and just called it area of impact and said you can't have an area of impact larger than or farther than 2 miles from your city limits, and you can't have a boundary that is next to things that you don't think are very likely, quote unquote, to be annexed into the city within the next 5 years. So the city looked at that as like, we don't annex things. Property owners come to the city saying we want to annex into the city. So the city's has no plans to forcibly annex anything along any of those boundaries. And they have no way of knowing if anything is very likely, quote unquote, to be annexed into the city in 5 years. So on the basis of all those sort of unknowns and the new restrictions that the state legislature came up with, they said, well, just forget it. Like, we're not going to have one entirely.
So dig back into history, which you guys might remember or may not. Being young fellows, back in early 80s, I was editor at the Daily B, and our mayor then, Dwight Scheffler, proposed a annexation, I think, of almost everything within that city of area impact. And it went nowhere. Of course, rural residents are notoriously reluctant to go into the city and pay the extra the extra taxes. And how's the city even going to provide any services out there, right? Mm-hmm. Water or sewer doesn't reach out there. So that proposal didn't go anywhere, but it was a pretty audacious proposal to expand the size of Sandpoint by a ton, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know, one more question on this. So is there a downside to not having an area of impact?
There's a couple of of downsides. One of them is that, as Bill Dean, sort of city planner, mentioned at the meeting, that it's a vehicle for having a conversation about future planning with the county. So under the previous legislative, like the Idaho code, prior to the change that they made, counties were required to notify cities of any changes within their area of impact. That's no longer the case. So Bonner County does not have to tell Sandpoint anything about what's happening within its area of impact. So that kind of went away with the legislative, like the legislative change. Mm-hmm. So we are not, we're basically the county doesn't have to tell us anything. And that's kind of a downside. Another downside is that we don't have that line on the map to where surrounding cities like Ponderay or Dover, they have area of impact still. So they could sort of, as Mayor Grimm said, they could woo, you know, away certain residents or properties to be like, join Ponderay.
Instead of Sandpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. So north of the fairgrounds, outside of our city limits, this was the example that Jeremy Grimm gave, is Ponderay could go to those property owners and say, we're not going to annex you, but if you want to be part of Ponderay, we'll give you lower impact fees, we'll give you lower taxes, we'll do this, we'll do that. And then suddenly that chunk of land, which used to be sort of like within Sandpoint's area of impact, will become part of Ponderay. Mm-hmm. So there is a conceivable concept, like a free-for-all, I think is the way he said it, that we could be surrounded by these other cities at some point because we don't have any basis, even on a map, to say that this is our area of impact. Mm-hmm. We have our city limits, of course, mm-hmm. But that's it.
Mm-hmm. Is there any appetite from Dover or Ponderay to expand?
No. I think that was just kind of a hypothetical. Okay. He was sort of like just talking about like what could happen if we don't have this. But he didn't seem to think that was, and this is Mayor Grimm, he didn't seem to think that was a necessarily disadvantageous thing because we could do the same thing. You know, we could go to people in like
We being Sandpoint.
Yeah, we being Sandpoint. So I don't know. I mean, it's kind of a weird sort of nerdy planning tool sort of concept, but I think it does actually have ramifications in the future that we maybe won't have to deal with for a while, but at some point it could be an issue. I don't know.
Oh, well, we're seeing a lot of growth. That's for sure. So, okay, let's switch up. And is there anything you want to add to the little bit that I gave on the budget?
Well, I mean, the big thing is that the budget's coming up on August 20th, like you mentioned, and that'll be sort of the final workshop and public hearing. And they're going to set that, and, you know, it's exactly what they talked about for months. And it was kind of interesting because they delayed adopting that preliminary budget. They had a meeting in, I think it was early July or late June, where they were kind of queued up to adopt the preliminary budget. They didn't do it because they wanted to look at it more. And that kind of pushed the timeline back a little bit. So I think they're a little crunched right now because they statutorily have to have it passed by a certain time. Mm-hmm. And there was a little bit of frustration in the room, I recall, when they tabled it because, you know, the finance director, like all these people at city staff, like they work all year trying to build this thing. And then the council was like, well, we don't want to think about it a little bit longer. Mm-hmm. And then when I see it finally get adopted, it's the exact same number. They had some minor tweaks. The mm-hmm. spot bus thing was one of the major ones. There's a lot more in it, and I encourage people to go to the budget book, which you can find on the city's website, and really dig into a lot of the details.
So I'm curious about the spot bus decision to reinstate that $40,000. It was a 4-2 vote?
It was a little bit fraught. So Councilor Rick Howarth and Joel Espiro both opposed. They didn't think that should be a free public transportation system, that they should have a fee structure. Other councilors argued, you know, like this is a public good and we have a rural community. And even if it's not convenient, quote unquote, for other people, you know, a lot of people do use it. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how we do mm-hmm. in Bonner County. Like we have to look out for each other because, you know, we don't have a whole lot of options for transportation around here.
I think it's a lifeline for some set of folks in
the
town.
So that vote was split a little bit. And I think that the spot bus people had made a pretty good case mm-hmm. over the course of the past few months for why that was necessary. Mm-hmm. And it won out. So there was a lot of other little tweaks, but that was like the main one that kind of jumped out to me. And then the wastewater treatment plant is the big thing.
Okay, well, so how close are they to getting that firmed up for to be ready to put on the. It's a firm deal that they're gonna have that on the ballot, right?
They have determined they will put that on the ballot. They're gonna write the language for that on the August 20th meeting. That's gonna be a long meeting, so I'm not sure I'll have reporting the next day.
But, all right.
But yeah, they definitely want to put that on the ballot. They did a survey, which I think we talked about last time I was on with you, Will.
Since I missed that one, did they have results of that survey?
They opened it in late July and they were going to close it on like the 5th of August or something like that. And then when they had the meeting, their PR person was like, keep it open for longer. We want more responses. They only got like 233 responses. They wanted 350 to make it sort of statistically significant. Mm-hmm. So based on what they had as of that meeting, they had 233 people respond, and of them, it was like 68% were either somewhat or very in favor of dealing with the plant, mm-hmm. and were also in favor of putting it on the ballot and would vote for it with certain conditions. The main condition being that ratepayers don't get hit with the entirety of this cost. So there's an $80 million phase one sort of option where they would take care of the most immediate needs. And there's a $130 million full freight kind of whole meal deal where they just take care of all of it. And the rates would be, you know, for the $80 million one, it was $100 utility bill for sewer would go to like it'd be more marginal. If you did the $130 million, it would basically double. So for a $100 a month bill, it would be $206 a month for that bigger option. And people were okay with that as long as the city looks for other grants, low interest loans, other sources of funding to reduce the debt and then reduce the burden on ratepayers. If we didn't have any bond at all and dealt with this entirely on the ratepayers, those bills would go from like $100 a month to $300 or $400, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. sound to me like the highest sewer bills in the world. Yeah. So I guess you got to kind of pick your poison. But
it is a pretty critical need.
Yes. Right? I mean, according to the city, and you know, I've toured it, Sansari Mitchell and I went and toured it last year, and yeah, I mean, we talked about this last week. It's from the '40s, the '50s. I mean, it's cobbled together Frankensteined with Home Depot purchases, with stuff from like the old Farragut Naval Base. Mm. I mean, you walk through it and it's incredible that we've managed to operate this thing for as long as we have. Yeah.
Farragut Naval Base is 1940s.
Yeah.
So,
you know, it's,
yeah, that's,
so this, the main thing though, out of that survey that I think that kind of took the city aback a little bit was that the level of confidence in the city to manage the funds efficiently and responsibly was really low across the board. Mm. So while people are aware of the problem and they're happy to vote for it and all these other things, even with a rate increase, they have this really low opinion of the city's ability to manage the money that they get. And I think that kind of stung a little bit when the city officials heard that. Mm-hmm. And they asked, you know, like, what can we do to, you know, restore confidence? And their PR consultant based in Boise says, well, just be transparent, do a lot of communications. So,
and maybe make some different decisions about how to spend money, right? I mean, I think that's part of where this lack of confidence comes from.
Right, and it's pretty widespread. I mean, that was discussed as well. It's like, look, people are not happy with government in general. Doesn't matter what government, local, state, federal. Like, mm-hmm. people are they're skeptical of government right now. So I think that we can all expect to see a lot more like really vocal communication about this issue starting in probably September after they adopt this ballot language. Mm-hmm. There's going to be, I can almost promise you, a major PR push mm-hmm. To sort of explain this project and then get that support up. The survey, I think, is closed at this point now. It wasn't as of press time.
And this does require more than a 50%, 51% majority.
Actually, no, yeah. it does not. It's a 50% okay. plus one.
Okay.
So it's just a simple majority.
That makes it a lot easier for the city to get this approved.
Well, and the survey shows that there is definitely more than 50% who want this to happen. Mm-hmm. It's just that they don't have a lot of confidence the city will do it right.
Yeah.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.
Hold on. It is.
So.
Are we getting fact checked?
We have an automatic thing that comes on to do a station ID, and we just got station ID'd.
Oh.
Well, I was just going to ask, I mean, obviously, probably a lot of the responses were from people that are passionate about this.
Yep.
Is there other things that the city plans on doing to kind of get a gauge on how residents feel about this?
I don't know.
Or is it just going to, we'll find out at the ballot?
Well, I mean, they're going to do more sort of outreach through social media, probably texts to people, like explaining it. They can't do advocacy. Mm-hmm. Like, they can't advocate for this using city money. So privately, like as individual citizens, the mayor, the councilors, they can go out and tell people like what they think about it. But the city itself cannot advocate. All they can do is educate. So I would imagine we're going to see some kind of door hangers, maybe. We'll see some email alerts. We'll see stuff on social media. It's like, here's the facts about the sewer plant. Here's, you know, what we should, well, what we could do, maybe not should. So yeah, stuff like that. And they have retained this this market or PR company out of Boise, and they're kind of running the PR part of it. And they seem like they have done campaigns like this in other communities. So yeah, expect to hear a lot more. And I mean, we could see stuff in our utility bills. Like,
that'd be a kind of a no-brainer.
Some of the councilors were like, why haven't we done that already?
Yeah, right. So, well, we are about out of time here, and I want to say thanks, Zach. Will, you got anything to throw on?
I did want to mention that fall sports have already started. We had our first competition yesterday, I think it was. So the Sandpoint golf team got out and played a few holes at Liberty Lake, and they did pretty well. And then as the next couple of weeks kind of unfold, there's going to be more and more sports going on.
Yeah, is the first football game, it's next Friday.
A week from Friday.
A week from today.
Yeah, they got a pretty brutal, Sandpoint has a pretty brutal opener. They go to Twin Falls and then the next week.
Trip.
Yeah, and then they've got a big trip the next week to Driggs, Idaho, basically.
Oh my gosh, wow.
Go to Idaho Falls, turn left and keep going.
Yeah, whoa, exactly. That's a long bus ride.
Yeah. But anyway, it's starting to happen.
Cross country's taking off.
Cross country, we'll have some home volleyball matches here soon, and also some home soccer. So if you're strolling past War Memorial Field, you'll see some activity there soon.
Well, go Bulldogs!
Exactly. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in today, folks. I want to close with this little nugget, and that is, we had a little tiny sprinkle of rain. If we're predicted, it's a 20 to 80% chance of rain tonight. Tomorrow, 80% chance. Accumulation of quarter inch or more is predicted, and that would sure help with these fires. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that. Thank you for tuning in today. We're going to go now to our regular Autos Eclectic Mix. Have a great Friday and a great weekend.
Fancy tricks, painted eyes, or glossy lips. I love you just the way you are. Hope you don't mind my beat up car. You don't need to change your dress. You don't need to change your shoes.